Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of the Lovely Travels podcast. Just me alone doing the intro today. Thankfully, we are flexible enough to do workarounds like this. Thank you, Emma, for being patient. And sorry, everyone, this episode is a day or two late, depending on where in the world you are. Nevertheless, it's another great episode. Our happiest repeat customer, Daniel Fyland, is back to talk about the current situation. It's another COVID conversation. So, Emma and Danielle talk about where they're at now, what it's like for Danielle in Melbourne. They just got out of a lockdown, which is great. I think they had the world's longest lockdown, in fact. They go through what they've learned, you know, a year plus into these crazy times. And then we have a part two in this episode. So you can listen to their chat that they had around March last year, so from 2020. It's quite interesting to, hear how moods have changed, how attitudes have changed. I know my attitude has changed, and I think so has theirs. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you have lots of fun listening to this episode, and can't wait to catch up with Emma for the next chat. So enjoy, everyone.
Welcome back to the podcast, Danielle Fyland, our most regular guest.
Yes, repeat visitor extraordinaire.
I love it. Biggest fan, biggest attendee of guesting. So that's brilliant. Well done. So we did a fun thing, so fun, so silly, back in about April 2020, about this new thing, this new COVID pandemic thing, and talking about what things were like in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. And, sort of said, oh, maybe we'll catch up in a couple months. And sort of see what's happening, and maybe in 6 months or a year when we're out of this, we can say what it's like post that. Well, hate to break it to you all, but it's August 2021 and we are still here. It's been quite the roller coaster, but we wanted to catch up with Danielle and hear what's happening in Melbourne, Victoria now. And I'll give a little update of what's happening on the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia now. These are our COVID conversations or our COVID convos. because, I know we're all sick of it, but we also are in it and it's happening. And, we're all talking about it. It's kind of hard to not. So we're going to have a chat about what's happening now and then listen to our hilarious, optimistic selves from back in April 2020.
Sounds like a great plan.
It will, yeah. Should provide some lol material, everybody, because, So what's changed?
Not a lot has changed in sunny Melbourne. We're in lockdown 6.0, so we've been in lockdown over 200 days over the last 18 months. And we're back in lockdown. We've got 5 reasons that we can leave home. We can leave home to get groceries, to get a vaccination, which is a new thing, obviously, from this time last year, for 1 hour's exercise a day, and to go to work if you're an essential worker, or to get medical supplies and go to the supermarket.
Yeah. I can't believe the, I mean, I've, you know, it's amazing that you're all keeping count. It feels like it's like lockdown infinity for you guys. But I think that's, like you said, 200 days. That's like, I hadn't heard it like that. That's over half a year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long time. And, you know, people are homeschooling their kids. The schools are shut. Childcare has just shut down. So that opened in this lockdown, but it's completely shut down now, only available to essential workers. So yeah, things are pretty grim, and masks are compulsory inside and outside, so even when you're going for your walk, you have to wear a mask.
Yeah, the walk's hard, isn't it? It's here they made it you had to do strenuous exercise. So it used to be that walking was considered exercise and so you didn't have to wear it, but then they've said now strenuous, and it's like, who's drawing the line on what's a power walk and what's a stroll, you know? So, you know, yeah, I guess if you're walking, you just have it on, don't you?
Yeah, and it's a little bit fluid here. It says for outdoor exercise, it can be exempt, and people are obviously choosing what they deem outdoor exercise and the level of activity. Look, the masks have dropped off, particularly when people are walking. I notice, and I walk a lot.
Yes.
And people, I would say every second person is not wearing a mask, which is pretty disappointing because, you know, one in, all in. If we all do the right thing, it means that we all get out sooner rather than later. But people are just fatigued from it all. And I think they've had enough, and we all just want to be back to whatever normal we can possibly have and be allowed to, you know, catch up with friends and go for a picnic and see our families and do the normal things that we used to do, go to movies, go to cafes, go out for dinner, celebrate birthdays, all of that fun stuff that has kind of been sucked out of our lives.
It's kind of amazing. I have some friends who are down in Victoria, and like, I know some of them have had weddings, and it's like the window must have just been the perfect time because you guys have just had so many, but they had like their full wedding. So like the luck of the draw in terms of picking the dates, and clearly I do not have said luck because I have postponed our wedding party, which is, you know, we did elope and we did have our lovely wedding, but we want to celebrate, you know, like, God, I haven't seen you.
I know. I want to celebrate.
I haven't seen you. You sent me beautiful flowers last year, which is lovely. You know, like, I haven't got to have a boogie with my friends. And but yeah, some people, you know, yeah, there was this time where you guys were fully open, and it just seemed, you know, with inverted commas, back to normal. And then now it's just, you know, and I hear, like, I've got a couple of friends down there, and they've just said to me, I won't disclose who they are, but they've said, We're fatigued. I'm going to the park and I'm finding ways to, like, you know, I'll take some wine in a flask or whatever, like, you know, and I'm like, you know, they should be walking the dog, but they're kind of hanging out. And I know that they closed parks or playgrounds because that was happening quite a bit. And, you know, who are we to go, oh, that's very naughty. Like, you know, when you can't say that when you've not been through it.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. Absolutely. Everybody should be doing the right thing. But you can also be like, I see why people are finding loopholes, and I see why people are, you know, when you've lived under this strict condition, that you just had enough.
Yeah, that is for sure. And I think, you know, all the novelty of probably the first two lockdowns is certainly worn off. You know, the Saturday night Skype trivia or Zoom trivia with your friends, and the, you know, online concerts and stuff like that. You know, yes, they're all still happening and they're all well and good, but most people, I think, are a bit fatigued from that, especially when you're spending all your day on meetings for work, if you are lucky enough to still be working. And then I don't want to look at a screen.
Well, I'm very honoured that you're here. I mean, except for when, if you're talking about travel podcasts, yeah, then, you know.
Talking about travel, that is a completely different story.
Yes. We are on video because I do like seeing Danielle as well as on audio. But, no, I get it. And someone was saying that they were a bit concerned about that. Someone who's in Sydney, which is in a huge, you know, and they're very going through their worst lockdown. But they said that, you know, in other times, you know, people had been reaching out to each other and had been wanting to do things, and that this time they're just finding that people are withdrawing and you can't reach people, and or they don't want to join things, they're not participating, and that's not a good sign.
Yeah. I've noticed people are calling more in this, less video calls and more just direct phone calls.
Yeah.
A lot more. People are sending things to each other. Like, yeah. Things, which I think is quite nice. I'm a big fan of the old-fashioned snail mail and the nostalgic kind of waiting for something in the post box.
Or... I sent you something in maybe lockdown 3. This is a while ago. We probably do another sending something. And it's funny, I'm very generous in this time. I'm like, oh, I'd love to do this. And then I think it was last year, and it was April was the first time we were all in it. And I was like, I've got to support local. And I probably got a little bit excited with, and I was like, oh, I've also got to support my bills. Like, yeah, I want to support you all, but like in moderation.
Yeah.
And, you know, interesting with the, I don't think you do as much, but like much takeaway and stuff this time, or are you sort of doing more cooking?
I'm not a big takeaway person, but I do tend to do like the meal boxes every now and then, like where you can kind of prepare it yourself, or like I've just done a juice cleanse, so I was a local provider. I do treat a lot of my staff. I spoil them rotten and just send them like care packs and gift cards and things like that, because it's tough for everyone, and I'm really, really happy that, you know, they're going above and beyond and giving 100% where they can for me. So I treat them regularly. I shop a lot locally. Like, I try and support if I'm buying a gift for someone, or instead of buying a voucher, I'll try and buy from a small store. I'm a big Etsy shopper as well for those kind of things, to shop, to support makers and creatives. So definitely into that. But I think this time I've kind of gone into a bit more of like the self-care stuff. So I'm actually doing more things around, you know, mindfulness and yoga and lots more bubble baths and face masks. And, you know, I think to just calm the situation a little bit, because it's really easy to get really frustrated and annoyed and angry, and so it's nice to just do some of those more mindful things to just try and keep yourself a little bit balanced and spoil yourself a little bit and enjoy the time that you do have in lockdown. That's a slower life than we would normally ever have. You know, I'm normally at the opening of an envelope, you know, if there's a new festival or a cafe. Yeah. Restaurant, or, you know, friends are having celebration or whatever. Like, I'm rarely home in, you know, pre-COVID times. So I'm, I guess, trying to look at it in a positive light and go, well, you know, I get the opportunity to clean out my sock drawer.
Which, yeah, like the Marie Kondo and the home edit and all that, the organizing, and that's, you know, yeah, been a big thing. But no, we were saying before as well, like, yeah, it is, you know, as much as, you know, and I can't speak for it as much because we haven't had it anywhere as near as much up here, but I do like the not having to go places, because I am someone who also can flit about and go from A to B and stop the car lots and things like that. And it, you know, and I love showing up for my friends and being there. And if I'm invited, I'll go. So that, I do like having the control of my days and control of my time. And been an interesting one for us, and it's, you know, and I've said it a few times to people, it's nothing like being in it, but we have felt it up here, because two of the major cities and two of the biggest sort of populated states of our country, and a lot of people I love, like a lot of close friends and family, are in New South Wales and Victoria. It's just, we felt it here And it, like, it's this weird thing where we are allowed to do things, but you sort of, because we see so much of that, I sort of almost second guess. And we did have a very short lockdown the other week. It was actually a week. We expected it to go longer, but it didn't. That was our first one since the big one. Gold Coast hadn't had one. Brisbane's had a number of really short ones, but Gold Coast hadn't had one. So that was our first. We knew it. The writing was on the wall with the rest of the country kind of happening. And so the mask thing's come back, but then now our mask restrictions have dropped a lot. It's still indoors, but you know, every time I go into the hallway, you know, into my, even in my house, I'm like, oh, have I forgotten? Or like, oh, am I allowed to do this? Or, oh, can I, how far can I go? And we did actually have the blessing of going away to the hinterland of the Gold Coast, to O'Reilly's the other week. And I called them and said, are you, because we were only meant to do regional, and I actually called them and said, are we allowed to come? Like, you know, like it's just, and it was so interesting. One of the first things you said, actually, a big difference to last year was that the rules, your five things are very clear now. Whereas when we started last year, everything was, and even for a few times, I think they were a bit hazy, weren't they? Contradictory.
I was even able, my grandma lived in Seymour, and I was even able to go to Seymour and assist her. And now 5Ks, Seymour's 100Ks, so I won't be going there for quite some time. But yeah, they're very clear. And look, I'm actually grateful that they're as clear as they are, because I think the lack of clarity causes people more frustration and more confusion. So I think we saw that a little bit in Sydney in their first lockdowns. Like, it was kind of like, you determine what's an essential worker. It's up to you. Whereas our rules down here are very clear. So we know we've got this now. We know the ropes.
Well, and the one in all in, you know, and I know that you said that you feel like some people aren't doing the right thing as much, and we all have to work together, and Melbourne has had that philosophy. There's always going to be the people, the outliers who go and have, you know, parties or do the wrong thing. That's just, you know, humanity. But in Sydney, they're really treating each area so separately. And we had the same message up here. Come on, Gold Coast. Come on, like Brisbane, like, come on, we're doing it. We're locking down. Everyone's doing it. That's it. Blanket rules. And it makes a lot simpler. You go, okay, yep, I accept it. Whereas in Sydney, it's like one side of the street's doing something different to the other, or we're allowed to do this, but you're not allowed to do that. And the poor things, it's confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing, and it's not fair. There's a lot of it's not fair. Why can this suburb do this, why can that? And then, you know, and really ostracizing some areas of Sydney and profiling, really, and it's getting quite nasty.
Yeah, and it's also cohorts of communities as well are being sort of pigeonholed from what you can see. I mean, you know, let's not say that the media always get it right, but there's a lot going on, I think, up there that's really, really isolating for some people, and it's quite offensive as well in some respects.
It is. And it's interesting, you know, as the world was looking upon Australia and New Zealand, and, you know, we had it right. Mm-hmm. And this current situation, I think the rest of the world's going, no, what are you guys doing now? Like, no, this is a bit silly. And we missed the boat on, like, the big change you said as well, which is something we hadn't really had a conversation about, or maybe touched on lightly, but was vaccination is a huge thing now. That's a big difference this year, and we missed the boat on that push, and that's where we fell behind.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think our approach is still focusing on elimination, as opposed to the other countries have gone
acceptance
and living with it, whereas I think Australia seems to still have a bit of an elimination mindset. So we're still trying to get that back down to zero cases, and with this new Delta variant, I'm not sure that that's a realistic approach. I don't know, I'm not an epidemiologist, but it's an interesting spin on things that, you know, we feel like we're back to square one almost. We did all the hard yards for the last sort of 18 months.
Yeah, and that's probably like, you know, I've talked to a couple of people, and it's, you know, we were our own worst enemies, in that the zero approach, but also the, you know, a lot of people and a lot of, you know, people I know, very well educated, traveled, well traveled, all that sort of thing, who had this mindset of, I'll do it when I have to, I'll get the vaccination when I have to, or if I have to, and it just was never going, it was always going to be this way. And that thing of, oh, maybe when I want to travel. And then for me and you, it's like, no, I want to get your asses into gear. I want to be on the plane. And the fact that, yeah, I was chomping at the bit. I was jealous. Like, it's the weirdest thing. I had FOMO about getting a needle in my arm. I've been jealous of my friends in the UK and the US and Europe, seeing them get their vaccinations. I truly felt jealous, and I truly felt the relief and the gratitude that they had when they were getting it.
Yeah.
Like, it did. And having now had my first one, and I'll get my second one in 10 days or something, like, I feel better about it. And yes, it's not, you know, we all know that it's not foolproof and da da da, and we'll have to get it again and da da. But you and I know, as travelers, vaccinations is part of life. Yeah. And vaccination has not even been a question before. I want to go to Peru. You had to have the yellow fever. I want to go to Tanzania. You're going to have XYZ. Going to Papua New Guinea, geez. I was meant to have Japanese influenza and blah, blah.
Yeah, it's not a question. And I think that's going to become really difficult when they start to do the mandatory or not mandatory, or in workplaces or in schools, or for traveling for that matter, for anything. How is that going to roll out? You know, there's so many people that you hear, and reasonably level-headed people, that are like, oh, I'm not going to get vaccinated, I don't think I need it, I don't know what's in it, all of this kind of thing. How do we then protect those people who are vaccinated and potentially not put at risk those who aren't either? So it's going to become really tricky to be able to manage that. I think that's going to be the next big challenge out of this. Like, you know, getting the cases down is one thing, but I think working out how do we move forward.
Mm. Yeah. And I, listeners, I'm sorry, but I'm unashamedly pro-vaccination, always have been, always will be. And on this front, when we are dealing with this level of pandemic, I am very vocal. And if you disagree, that is totally okay. That is you are entitled to that. But I will not hold back on my opinion on this and my true belief that vaccination is our only way forward. And I want to see my family and friends. I want to see my Danielle. I want my cuddle. I want my boogie. You know, give it to me and get it out to as many people as possible. That's where that's my position.
Yeah, I agree. And look, realistically, I think we've never asked what brand of flu injection we're getting or what brand of rabies vaccine are we getting or anything like that. So I don't think, you know, the whole AstraZeneca versus Pfizer versus whatever else you might be getting stands up. Like, I get that, yes, potentially there's been some symptoms and some repercussions, I suppose, but that could be from a multitude of things.
You and I would have taken far more risks in the plane travel we've done, getting in cars with people in Mexico, I don't know, walking over mountains in Peru. Even taking Finn on a treetop walk the other day, and I was like, oh, this is probably a bit precarious to have a child strapped to me. I'm sure that was probably more risky than getting a vaccination. But, you know, this is where the media and things comes in. But, I did have this conversation recently with Darius, and it was just interesting the terminology that we're using, the types of discussions that we're having. Like, could not have imagined this sort of conversation back in April last year.
I was having a bit of a reflection moment on the weekend, and I thought about it, and I thought, who would have ever thought that before I go to the supermarket and I grab my keys and my wallet and my phone, that I would also have to grab a mask?
Yep.
Go to the supermarket, you know.
I had to check your kilometres, you know, like I said, you know, calling a place to say, am I allowed to come?
Yeah.
You know, or is that, you know, what, are you open? Or, you know, I did have a little snippy at someone the other day because their cafe, you know, the hours on the Google said this time and they were all shutting and it's because they're not as busy. And I was like, well, maybe update your stuff because, you know, like come out, you know, I totally respect that you change things, but you know, update it. People are, you know, we're going to figure out what's going on and communicate that. So and that's probably a little bit of my frustration coming out. But
one of the biggest things I think out of all of this is the importance of communication, whether that's, you know, social communication between people and friends and family, or whether it's communicating legal information or restrictions or whatever it is. That seems to be the crux to everything. Like where the frustration lies is when everyone's like, oh, is there an announcement? Is there a non-announcement? Has the lockdown been extended? Set yourself a time and do the press conference at the same time every day so people know that you're not kind of having to listen in and all hear it third hand, or someone texts someone and goes, oh, the press conference is on now. Or, you know, the importance of really good, high-quality communication. I think this is a perfect example of when it's at its best, it all works really well.
And we saw that early on as well, probably April or May last year. Like, I don't know, we might have even talked about it, like how every single business you'd ever interacted with in the history of the universe started to email you letting you know what was happening with COVID. And you're like, I don't want to hear from you, cafe that I attended once ever in said town. But, you know, some businesses, you know, including Qantas, you know, my friend sent me, passed on an email that had a really great email that was really like, yes, I do want to hear from you. Or like our wedding photographer who, you know, yes, we already have a deposit paid with you. I want to know what you have to say. But it was just this over a few days, just every business decided they needed to have a say. And so funnily enough, being in the industry that I'm in, which is communications, you know, I had that little bit of like, oh, like, what am I going to do? And I was like, oh, wait, we're actually really valuable right now, us writers and communicators and, you know, policymakers and all those sorts of people have become, you know, really like, that's important. And people have had to up their game on that. So hopefully that has helped. Yeah. And people have seen the value of, you know, you said before working, before we started recording, but, you know, working from home, and that used to be a real fight for me, like having to try and get people to understand that I could actually do my job from anywhere and I run a business from my house and actually used to be unique. Now I'm like, oh, everyone stole my jam. Everyone's doing what I do now. But, you know, that it's possible and that you can still do a good job, and that we have proven it's been, you know, nearly 18 months that we can still operate.
Yeah, and funnily enough, it's actually been a positive for my real job, in that, you know, to raise the profile of us, we support businesses in a local government perspective, that people actually need us. They recognise that, oh, you guys are kind of a bit of a font of information. We need to connect with you. Whereas before we were a bit of a nice to have, now we're pretty critical. So kind of been a real good. Positive for us in that work sense. Look, there's a lot of things where we can't assist either because, of course, everyone wants cash.
That's don't we all?
We have a money tree. I'm working on it. I'm working. Yep.
Please do.
But, yeah, it's actually been a positive. So, you know, there are good things to come out of this situation, that's for sure.
And tell me, like, a positive for you was despite 6.0 lockdown, you did get to escape for a little while. Just tell us, I mean, please head on over to @possandruby on Instagram, get to see some amazing photos, but, like, tell us a little bit about what your freedom was like.
It's actually hilarious. Well, not hilarious, but lucky. On the day of lockdown 4.0, I was actually on a flight to Tasmania to write an article, I was getting on that plane to go to Tassie. So I was on the plane. I made it into Tasmania before the lockdown at 2 o'clock that day. I landed at like 11 o'clock in the morning. And when Victoria went into lockdown, I decided that I wasn't going to return to Melbourne until it was hopefully cleared up, because further down the track I had a trip to the Northern Territory in Western Australia already pre-booked with my friend who I was really, really looking forward to. I hadn't had a holiday, a break from work for 18 months. And so I was super keen and so determined that I was going to have this trip. So I ended up staying in Tasmania for 2 weeks while the lockdown went on in Melbourne. And I'd only had a carry-on with like a couple of jumpers and a pair of jeans and a scarf. So that was an interesting 2 weeks. Luckily, yeah. I was in a fabulous Airbnb where I had a laundry so I could wash my clothes. And then looking at the restrictions, if I was to go back to Melbourne, I wouldn't have been able to get into the Northern Territory because of the restrictions there. So anyone entering from Victoria would have had to do 2 weeks quarantine in Howard Springs for $2,500. So lucky for me, my family live in South Australia.
Yeah. So
I went straight from Tassie to Adelaide to South Australia, and I also, lucky slash unlucky maybe, had my work computer with me, so I worked remotely all the way along. So the 2 weeks in Tasmania and then 2.5 weeks in South Australia, I worked remotely, and Victoria was still in lockdown, so it worked really well. And then I was fine, because I hadn't been in any red zones, I was able to then go from South Australia to the Northern Territory and have my holiday, which was 2.5 weeks. The day that I flew into the Northern Territory was the day that they went into lockdown. And luckily, by about 4 hours, I had missed that lockdown as well and was well on my way to the WA border on the most amazing road trip. So it was a pretty epic adventure. I was away in the end for 7 weeks.
Amazing.
I left everything. My friend had to come and clean out my fridge in my house because I just left everything. I had I've purchased stuff for my trip and got people to send me bits and pieces and cobbled together a bit of a kit for my outback adventure, but it was the best thing. But in saying that, when I came home, I think I had probably the worst case of holiday blues I've ever had, because I landed back in Melbourne just in time for lockdown 5.0.
It's like a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
Yeah, my little bit of freedom was a bit
give me more. Yes. And it's just roll of the dice at the moment and timings and I'm so glad that you had that. It looked incredible. And you'll have to you'll have heard Danielle on our Victoria episode, and I think she's also going to contribute a little bit to our South Australia episode, and you'll have to contribute a little bit. Oh, we've already had Western Australia, but maybe you can contribute a voice memo to the Northern Territory as well.
Okay. Been everywhere. 5 states I've covered in COVID times, which is pretty unheard of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know, talking about
no testing required.
Ah, incredible. So, I hope that we're not doing this call next year, but, maybe put it in the diary, April. We'll go back to the April 2022. Let's see what the world looks like. And I think we used to say post-COVID, but I think people are now just, with COVID.
Yeah.
It will be there, and it will just become like, we don't talk about the flu, and it'll just hopefully be like the flu, and it's just one of those things that happens.
COVID normal is what it's dubbed down here.
Oh God, not another term. I keep saying the P word. I don't say the word. And then I'm like, I should say the word from Friends that is P. It's like the V word from Harry Potter. We'll just start having, you have to have code. So the Q word and the P word and the N word, the NN, that's the worst one.
Let's hope that we can be talking about being out of this and being a little bit more free, and hopefully more travels.
Maybe with an international flight booked or something like that. Yeah, good. Just, geez, Louise.
Oh, do you know what? I would really love to be doing this call from New Zealand next April.
Okay, there you go. Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
I was going to say, oh, and, you know, I was going to say, we'll have to do, you know, when one of us gets to be in the same room as each other, we'll have to do a little voice memo to be like, we did it. We're together. Listen to our hug. Thank you for being such a, sorry.
5 meter social distancing.
No, I'm getting right in there. Don't you worry about that. You get the squeeze of your life.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for being such a loyal contributor to the podcast and a loyal listener. Yeah, and we'll see you on another episode soon, no doubt.
Look forward to it.
Thank you.
And now, take a trip down memory lane for COVID Conversation in March 2020.
Who are you? How do we know each other?
Oh, my goodness. Gee, was it 4 years ago, I think, we met on the Gold Coast at a conference, a bloggers conference, and connected there. And ever since, we've been in touch. And we had an amazing trip to India last year. I was nearly going to say this year. My goodness, time flies when you're having fun. And ever since, yeah, we've been connected. We've got so much in common. We've worked together. We've played together. And, yeah, the love affair continues.
I bet you. I'll point out that Danielle and I was sort of really connected at the World Vision Australia Blogger Conference. I was being the MC as well as a fellow blogger, and Danielle came up and, you know, sort of said, could we touch base and, you know, just sort of bounce ideas off each other. And I think I'm a few years ahead in blogging and stuff, but Danielle's got an amazing blog, Poss and Ruby, The Adventures of Poss and Ruby. And so, yeah, I've just seen that grow and grow and grow. So the funny, not funny thing at the moment, you are based in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, but you and I are avid travellers and had, as always, lots of plans, and now we have zero plans.
I still have the plans. I just don't have the bookings.
Yeah, true. So how do you feel?
How do I feel? I'm devastated. Travel is my passion. It's kind of my life. I don't work to live. I work to travel. So I'm kind of finding like I feel like I've just been, all my pleasure and joy has kind of been taken away because, you know, that's what I live for. I work towards a goal of my next trip, and my next trip was to be into Laos, a country I've never been to before, in only a few weeks now. But earlier on, before, you know, I guess the crisis really became a crisis, I was adamant that I was going to go, and all along I was going to go, and all of a sudden now I actually can't go even if I wanted to. So I'm kind of devastated. And then all my family are interstate. So for Easter, I was going to my mum's in Mount Gambier. I fly there because it's a 6.5 hour drive. I now can't go there. And the borders are closed to South Australia, which is only the state next door. Yet I can't go there. My next trip was booked to Uluru. I'm looking at June, probably not going to be able to go there. So, yeah, it's really, really tough. I am a bit heartbroken about it all, and I'm at a bit of a loose end kind of going, that's what I do. So I'm just trying to, you know, cherish the memories and do a lot of research for what will hopefully be lots of trips in the future.
Which you're very good at. You're excellent at travel research. But, I mean, have you had the experience that I've had, because we travel so much and because you do so much, like even you do weekend trips around Victoria and things like that, have you had any excitement that like, this is the time I could be at home and catch up on all those photos and all those blogs and all that stuff that I say, I'll do that one day? Have you had that?
Definitely. Yeah. That's what's probably getting me through. I'm going, I can write that article. I can get those photos. I can edit photos. I need new images for my website so I can do those and have time to edit them and do them properly. I'm going to look at a revamp for my website as well in this time so that
you know, on the other end, I can come out all shiny and new, a nice refresh. I'm really going to focus on engaging with my audience over this time as well, because they're all in the same boat and they can't travel. So hopefully I can fill that gap by sharing my stories and images with them and inspiring their travel dreams. So, yeah, I am kind of grasping onto my last chance of you know, reliving and capturing those travel experiences that I have had.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, it's so hard right now and it's obviously disappointing and it's gutting to have to cancel trips. I mean, Matt and I had a 7-week honeymoon planned for September, October, and we just, I mean, he was stressing because he's blocked out that leave, which meant he had no leave for now. The fact that, you know, his work is closed and he has a lot less work. And I said to him, just everything has to pause. The plans are out the window, and just get the annual leave back. But come September, October, we hope that things are moving again. New goal is 100% just my number one, my hopes, three hopes. I've got three goals travel-wise. Number one, 1st of August, I hope that you can all come to the Gold Coast, my darling, to party with us for our
I'm coming.
She's coming regardless.
I'm booked.
And look, my dad said to me today that might be the time where we're just easing back into normality, maybe hopefully before, but maybe then. Like, what a great way to celebrate, you know, being together again. So, you know, fingers crossed for 1st of August. The second date is our beautiful friends are getting married in Slovakia. I hope that it can go ahead, and we'd love to go that in September. And the third goal is to go and see my grandmother for her 90th in October in England. So I should say, you know, Gold Coast, Slovakia, in England. And as part of that goal, the minimum, the absolute minimum now is to go to England for my granny's 90th, and on the way home come and go via the US and see my cousin in Chicago. But, you know, we don't know, and I'm not being pessimistic, but we have to be realistic that this could last, I mean, minimum a month, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months to recover. That's, you know, just preparing for that so that we're not again disappointed and again disappointed.
That's right.
Plans and pushing our plans and pushing our plans.
Mm-hmm. I've kind of taken that perspective on the trips that I can postpone, is almost postponing them as long as I potentially can, because the heartbreak of going, oh, well, I'll go in September, rebooking for September, September rolls around, and then all of a sudden you've got to go, oh, well, I still can't go. You've got to cancel all again and postpone all again. It's almost like the pain and the hurt happens all over again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking at basically this trip that I have for April, pushing out to next April. So that's just the reality of it. But, you know, it gives me the opportunity to save more leave. And, look how exciting. This year I actually purchased some extra leave. We're lucky our job allows us to do that. But that leave actually has to be used within the 12-month period. So if things don't change, and I'm not one who likes to have holidays at home either, so if things don't change, I might be having to have a sneaky road trip somewhere and use up those at least 2 weeks of that leave so I don't lose it, because if you don't use it, you lose it.
And we just don't know, do we? I mean, I think the more quickly we can take this lockdown seriously, and that's what I mean. I got a message from the UK today from a friend, and she's like, it is this serious, it is this real. Please learn from us, please do it quicker. The quicker you do it, the quicker everybody abides by it, the quicker we move on.
That's it.
And so let's hope that, you know, Australia is getting a wake-up call, and we are fortunate to be, funnily enough, we're ahead in time, but we're backwards in some other things. And we have the benefit of space, and we have the benefit of those very clear big state borders, and we have the benefit of the fact that we're an island, and we've said, you know, no more people coming in. But they are
really benefits at this stage, whereas Europe, you know, where is the border is there, but, you know, I mean, whose houses are on two country borders, you know, it's really hard. So yeah,
it's quite challenging.
And the density, we don't have the density. So fingers crossed, I'm going to fly through. I mean, I would ask you what's happening in your area, but that happens. What's the hour? What's the time? The dad says the announcement's actually meant to be on the news now about 9 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
So what's the general vibe in where you are in Melbourne and I guess in Victoria?
Yeah, I'm in the northern suburbs in Melbourne, and we have a large population of migrants from after the Second World War. So we have an older community in our area, and I think visibly from what I've seen over the last couple of weeks, it's sort of taken a little bit for people to understand the seriousness of it. But once that kicked in, the panic was pretty horrific. But people are protecting a lot of those elderly communities as well. They're very strong and valued in our area. We also have a big arts community as well, so that's being affected, and a hospitality industry that's booming, well, was booming prior to COVID-19. So a lot of people in the area are losing their jobs. A lot of the culture and the atmosphere of the area has effectively died overnight, because that's what the area kind of lives for and lives on. So that's been a big noticeable difference. In Melbourne, I think there is a generation that aren't quite getting it. But I think the messaging is getting stronger and firmer, and hopefully people will start to understand the seriousness of it and start to abide by the rules, because otherwise it is going to get out of hand and we're going to see ourselves in a really, really troubling situation. But in the rest of the state, the borders closing has been really interesting, because with all my family interstate, my grandma's 92 and she just lives an hour outside of Melbourne in a country town. But, of course, her children all live interstate. And with the borders closing, that, I guess, panicked them, because they, in their mind, normally are a day's drive from my grandma's house. Now they actually can't get to her. So she's home alone, 92. Luckily, I'm close by and I can take care of her. But, you know, in their minds, that was quite a stressful decision. Do they come over and end up staying for indefinite period? What does that mean for their work? What does that mean for their home? All of that kind of stuff. And that was really forced upon us on Sunday night. So we were sort of doing that family call going, oh, what's going on? Who's going to do what? How is that all going to happen? And so that was pretty stressful.
Sunday for a lot of people has been the meltdown day in Australia. Mm. I had a couple of meltdowns, had to leave work early because I was crying. I cried on Saturday because I heard the Australian borders were closing. And I've heard that before. I don't know if you saw, but because I lived through Mexico, swine flu in Mexico, and the thing that got me that made it, like, it was already serious, but what made it serious was they said las fronteras, son cerrados, like they're going to close the borders. And that was like, and that was my decision to get out. So I left Mexico at that point. And when I heard Australian borders are closed, and then later or the next day to hear state borders are closed, and I had the same thing. My dad and my brother and my mum, my dad and my brother in Sydney, my mum's in Orange. I can't see them now. In Melbourne, I've had to drive 18 hours to get more to get back in time because the planes all were stopped.
They're not flying.
And then, you know, my in-laws, similar situation, 92-year-old Matt's 92-year-old Nan is in hospital at the moment and they would have been stuck away from her, so they made the decision to get stuck in Victoria. So they've driven down in time that they're now there, so that they're nearby. Yeah. And you know, I totally agree with it. I totally agree with it. But
I agree. I'm the same. I agree with it. I think it's another step that just needs to happen. You know, it's not perfect for anyone, but it just has to happen.
Yeah, and you just got to figure out your decisions. So I'm going to ask you two more things. So, like, what about work? What's your work like? What do you do for work? And what's, like, is it BAU or is it what's sort of a day like for you?
Yeah, I work for local government in economic development and tourism. So two industries that are being hit very hard at the moment. As of last Wednesday, we've all been sent to work from home where possible. There's essential staff sort of only on the premises, and as of tomorrow there will be maybe five people in our office building when there's probably usually almost 200. So that's a big shift. We're doing a whole range of things at the moment, juggling sort of cancellations of programming that we had already done. So major events, public facing events to small business events, workshops, doing cancellations, but then also looking at how we can still deliver to business. So we're reintroducing online stuff. We're doing Zoom interviews and mentoring. We're doing a whole range of things to help our business community, weekly emergency news, all of that sort of crisis management stuff is sort of put into place, as well as some of our BAU stuff as well. Our economic development strategy, for example, is going through the process of ending community consultation and then going through council. So we still have to do all the reports and briefings and everything that has to go to council. And so that's really interesting. I'm actually invigorated by that, though. I think it's forcing us to look at things a little bit differently and a bit more strategically. And as a creative thinker, it really sits in my space. I just kind of go, yeah, but we could do this and we could do that. And what about this? And there's options for that. And so I'm kind of as terrible and tragic as this whole crisis is, I think there's some good things that are going to come out of it.
Oh, 100%. I'm so excited as a freelancer, as somebody who works from home, like you are in my office full time.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, and I hope that we don't go back to the way it was, because you know, this whole work-life balance thing, I don't think that's really been in place. And although there is a bit of work from home, it's still been very much the office. And I don't think that offices are redundant. I think offices certainly have a place, and there will always be people who prefer to and get their energy from other people and want to be around people. It's just that we won't have to do that. And for the people like myself, who are so much more productive at home and can still feel so connected, this is how I work. I have meetings like this three or four times a day. I deliver all my services to my clients on Zoom. I have clients in Brunei, Melbourne, Sydney, the UK. This is how we work. And I mean, I feel like, you know, I would love to give you a hug, but I feel like it's so nice to see your face and it's so nice to hear your voice. So I hope that this can, some industries and some businesses and organisations can carry this forward and realise that work from home can still be extremely productive and beneficial.
Yeah, it's really interesting too, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, you work from home. You know, we understand productivity is going to decrease. And I'm like, there's not enough hours in the day for me. I've got so much work to do, but I'm also so motivated and inspired that I'm coming up with a million ideas and going, oh, yeah, we must do that. And I'm researching things and I'm doing. So I'm actually not, you know, and I've worked from home in the past in my roles as well. So I still have my office and I get up in the morning and I go for my morning walk and I shower and get dressed and come to the office and have my 10:30 morning tea and have my 1 o'clock lunch break. And
whereas other people, like, you know, I do work, I mean, what's the time? I mean, this is half work, half not, but I do work at this time because that's what suits my client. And I can do that because this is my office, this is the commute. And
yeah,
I mean, it's, it will be interesting to see what the productivity is like. And, like, yes, I thought, oh, everybody's at home, everybody's going to be contactable. Well, yesterday everybody was too busy for me. Everybody's working. And it's like, hello, businesses, your staff are working. They're working their butts off. Actually, they're probably working more because they didn't do the commute.
Yep.
You know, we need to make sure that people aren't doing too many hours. Like, you've still got to have some life. So having your routine of going for a walk or going out for a workout or having dinner with your family, wherever you are, whatever you do. But it can work. And there are pros. It is a terrible, terrible, serious situation, but I think there's some, we can learn a lot and get some really nice pros out of it.
Oh, for sure. I've got a perfect example. Our planning department has been paper-based. Paper-based, like it's 2020, paper-based. Yep. Overnight, they went digital. Overnight, can you believe that? Like, I don't even know how long they're probably trying to go digital. It's probably at least the last 10 years. And it's obviously just gotten caught up in red tape and systems and whatever it might be. A crisis forces your hand to change, and they changed overnight, and so the customer gets a better experience now.
Yeah.
So, and you know, the environment
Mother Nature is breathing a sigh of relief at the moment.
And completely.
You know, we can reduce traffic by some people. I'm not saying all people, and I'm not saying it's possible for all industries. No way am I saying that. But it is certainly possible for the people who work in offices to work at home even 2 or 3 days a week or even different hours to reduce that time. Like, I just think there's so many, and like, you know, yeah, let's cut paper because.
I know.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yay, good news. Yeah.
I know. Yay, good news. Yeah, Nilimbic's gone paper-based, so it's exciting. No longer paper based.
But what's your Instagram handle and what's your website?
My Instagram handle is @possandruby and my website is possandruby.com.au. So follow me and my little car, my red Ruby, Ruby 2, and we go on adventures all around Australia and also overseas. She doesn't get to come overseas, so she gets to stay in the carriage when I go overseas, but yeah, we do what I call handcrafted experiences, authentic travel experiences that are sort of handmade by me. I guess I pick what I believe is the best of everywhere and cobble it together into an amazing experience and share it with everyone.
I can second that because I have traveled with you and I look forward to many, many more. I have 137 countries that I need to visit by the time I'm 40, so we've got 7.5 years. Well, help.
I'm in.
We're going to catch up next year with 40 countries. Let's go.
Yeah, we can do it.
All right.
Do it.
Have a good night.
My pleasure. You too.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's @lovelytravels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LoveLly. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners, so please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts, everywhere where you get podcasts, you will find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.